I'm going to start off with, have y'all been, anybody been involved in a road rage? Anybody here been involved? We see them on TV all the time. Somebody's already laughing because he knows what I'm going to say. We're going home yesterday after work, going down I-10. It's already gotten almost dark. It's getting that time. And of course, I look in front, and our rear view mirror is a 3D thing with all these new computers and all that. And I look in the mirror, and I thought, man, that car is coming on me real quick here, it seems like. And all of a sudden, boy, it just got right behind me. And then I noticed it got to my right. But then I lost him. He was in my blind spot. And I thought, what is going on? And then it's back behind me again. And then in a minute, it starts easing up beside me. And then I hear the pipes. He really gets on it. I mean, really loud, because I know what they just did. They flipped a switch on one of those Trans Ams or one of those Camaros and all that. They flipped a switch where that thing's really noisy and loud. And gets behind, pulls in front of me. And when he goes by, on the side mirror, it says Trejo. Now, how many of you know a Trejo? Huh? That was Jay Lynn playing with me. He said, now what he didn't know, he went all the way up and got off the exit for us. Well, I pulled in behind and we followed him home. But there's a light at the, whatever that is, 565. He made the light. I was falling too far behind him and caught me. So I lost him. Well, semi. He'd already got home, was out talking with somebody in the backyard there and all that. But we plugged his address in and went up to his house. So he sure did look funny when he walked up to the pulled in the drive and walked up to me. It wasn't quite, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but he does like to do that switch and put the pipes on, and you hear that thing rumble. So anyhow, you can't call that an official road rage, but just one of those type of things. So you got to watch if you think it's a Trejo, look on the side window, because he's proud of that name, and that's okay. So anyhow, I just thought I'd start off with that. Y'all have one brother playing with another one. He comes up and said, yeah, I eased up behind the beast. And as soon as I realized the license plate had that handicap thing on it, I knew it had to be you. So anyhow. Okay. I'll back up and Nate. Nate's my only taker up here in this front seat. That's good. Thank you, Nate. I'll back up just so we get started here. Time. And remember, this we've been talking about diligence, okay? Having diligence, working with zeal. Time invested in creating a good plan is never wasted. Okay. Stop and clarify exactly what problems you want to solve and what objectives you hope to accomplish. Does everybody do that? No. A lot of people don't do that. They get an idea and they just go out in the garage and, you know, they have this rough idea in their head. And they start working on something. And then partly way through it, they realize, man, this is not going to work. Then they take the time to get some paper and pencil out and draw out a, you know, whatever they're going to work on. And then they start realizing, man, what size I need. And then they start figuring out exactly the size and what supplies do I need. It's the same thing with us. When we're doing biblical stuff, we need to have a plan going. Okay, you got to stop and clarify exactly what problems you want to solve. What kind? You got a problem with a brother or sister? How are you going to solve that? Okay, are you going to catch them out in the foyer and just chew them out in front of everybody? I sure hope not. I have observed that before, but I sure hope that never happens. Okay. What objectives do you hope to accomplish? Okay. Just like a Bible class, any of the done Bible classes, you're going to have a plan for your class, thinking about what objectives you're going to try to cover and solve and help people with their Christian development. Then you develop a clear plan to achieve your goals, okay? The plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty. Proverbs 21:5. Okay. Making good plans includes preparing for issues or problems that are likely to arise. You want to think about those things ahead of time. Even the animal kingdom demonstrates wisdom preparing for the future. Talked about that a little bit last week about, you know, the animals know when it's going to get cold and then when it's going to get hot, those type of things. Go to the ant, old sluggard. Observe her ways and be wise, which having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. That's over in Proverbs 6, 6 through 8. Any of you ever had a I'm going to call it an ant farm way back in school for anything? Anybody ever done that? Yeah, there's a few of us. I did one way back. It was for some science project. I never did like doing science projects. So I came up with this deal about, oh, I'm going to go out here and I'm going to dig up an ant hill, dig it deep enough, and then put it. I took one of those big old aquarium, glass aquarium things. A lot of people put a goldfish or two in it. That's what I had gotten one of those. My mother had probably got that at a resale shop because she was a reseller person. And probably got it from Joe Williams. Anybody know Joe Williams? Y'all remember Joe? William came here. She ran a resale shop. I think my mother bought half of her shop and eventually moved it. But anyhow, and put those ants in there, and thank goodness I got the queen because they flourished. I put on the top of it, I put screen wire, put a good heavy rubber band so they couldn't get out. And after a while, it didn't take them very long. You could walk up there and turn that thing around. You could see all those little tunnels, and they're working in there and so forth. And every once in a while, I'd take the lid off, and I'd, you know, put some insects or something in there, a couple worms. They loved worms. But anyhow, and watch that. Quite amazing how they're all working type situation to accomplish what they do in there and type thing. So, think about the ant. I have read that someplace in Europe across a mountain range that starts over in Switzerland and ends up over in Italy somewheres, that they have identified a continuous ant colony that runs for about 400 miles. I mean, it's just quite remarkable. You must get reading that. But they identified that all these different ant colonies, they all combined one great bee, and they're all working together. Kind of crazy in a way. So they're doing what? What are they doing? They're all working together. They're all networking. They're all doing their job. And we talk about it as Christians. We all have our unique abilities to do certain things. We all have certain things that we're good at. But when you put us all together, we can accomplish a whole lot. And that's what it's all about. And that's the reason why Solomon had this in Proverbs, talking about the ants. Most diligent drivers... If you're a diligent driver, what do you have in your car? Everybody has it, most likely. Do you have a spare tire, even if it's one of those little donuts? Probably. You have a jack? Uh-oh, Terry doesn't have a spare tire. Oh, she doesn't. Oh, I would think that would be opposite. Okay. Well, we know what you're going to be working on now. Most of us are going to have a jack in there. Probably going to have a flashlight, okay, in case you got caught in the dark. Jumper cables, that's a big deal a lot of times. How many times have you been asked, somebody's got their hood up at a parking lot, and, hey, do you have jumper cables? I need to jump, you know, those type of things. Because drivers know that sooner or later, they're likely going to need all three of those, hopefully not all at the same time. But you're probably going to need that. Now, this day and time, I would dare say, a lot of people don't worry about the spare tire, never have taken a spare tire out of the vehicle because they have what? Roadside assistance. AAA. We've been AAA for years. And most of the time, every year, it kind of pays off on itself. You know, either the battery won't start, you know, and you call them up, they'll come out and jump you off, all that stuff. So we kind of changed that a little bit, but still, if you're out on some of the roads that we have been on, because sometimes Little Bell told us to go this way and Little Bell lied, you're very remote places, and you're glad on that, okay? Still remember we was come out of from the deer camp, and it's out really remote and really rocky. Had a flat on the old truck. Margie's with me with a booger. Have to wrestle it. It's in the summer. It's hot. So I kind of pull over so somebody else to try to get by. I don't think it was 5 minutes. This truck comes up beside us, and this guy gets out. Needs some help? You got a flat? And I said, well, yeah. And I was already trying to get my stuff so I can get the tire down off the back of the truck. So, I'll take care of it. And he got to work, and he had one of those hydraulic pump-up jacks that you see at the tire stores in the back of his truck. He pulls that out, jacks that rascal up, and then he gets his tailgate open and lays all these tools out. He had everything to fix a flat right there. Those little plugs, he plugged the tire up, told me, he said, you got to be careful. It may not hold, too many hundreds of miles, but it's going to get you out of here. And he had his own air pump in the back of this deal. He cranks up the generator, gets the air pump going, airs the tire up. Okay? I tried to pay the guy. Wouldn't take a thing, okay? But I noticed he had a little slurred speech. So he had his passenger door open getting some of his stuff out of the inside. And I noticed in the floorboard on the passenger side, he had a pair of boots, and in the top of the pair of boots, I saw the top of a whiskey bottle. But he was right there in the right spot. I mean, I could not believe the timing. Think that might have been providence of God working? I see some head shaking, yes. Believe me, at that point in time, I thought it was. That's for sure. Never seen that man before, never seen him since. Times when we've been to the deer, the deer camp. So things like that happen, but we got to be prepared. I was prepared, but I just didn't want to have to do all that. So we got to think about the people and the resources that you may need in the future to serve God with greater zeal. And start getting prepared. If you're not prepared, let's start. What's one of the biggest things on being prepared? What?
Be willing.
Yes, you got to be willing. Okay, what else? You got a plan. Now, how, what are you going to plan? What are you going to plan?
You study.
Study. You got to be studying. You got to be studying. Have the knowledge to be ready. We all know this. Just review that. I'm trying to go over and get us all, you know, pumped up with a little bit of zeal to try to do that. I had a question asked me today in Rotary. I sat down by this Rotarian. He's a fairly new member. Sharp guy. He's one of those attorneys you need if you're going to sue somebody because you had a car wreck and it was other people's fault and the insurance won't take care of your car and all that stuff. But I was sitting there and I asked him, I said, you have a church home? And he said, well, yes, my wife and I, we they don't have any children yet. We go to church. He told me some church way off. They drive like an hour and a half to this church. And I said, wow. I said, why do you go there? And he said, because they think outside of the box. Now, y'all want to digest that? They think outside of the box. So I said, okay, what kind of box? Is it a little box or a big box? I asked him that. And he said, well, I never thought about that, but it's outside of a box. I said, explain to me. Well, guess what? They have a 12-piece band. You think 12-piece band is a lot? He said, man, since when we first started, they only had about 40 people there. And we thought it was so nice because it didn't take us long to know everybody, but we've been going there about 2 years now, and we have about 200 people. And we keep adding a musician. And we got soloists that come in now that don't even belong to our church, but they hear about us, and they'll come over and sing a song or two for us. And they ask, I said, do they stay for the service afterwards, hear the preacher? No, they leave. What is wrong with that picture there? Yes, a lot. Okay.
It's for entertainment. It's not there to worship God.
That's right. Total entertainment. And they fallen into the trap. So it comes back around. Where do you go? I said, I go to Eastside Church of Christ over in 146. And anyhow, he meeting was about ready to get started, but he leans over and says, Church of Christ. Y'all don't do musical instruments, do you? Y'all just sing with your bare throats. I think that's how you said it. I said, no, it's a little more. It's more like vocal cords. Oh, okay. You're a doctor. Forgive me. I'm just an old attorney, you know. So, but very interesting conversation, okay? So I still invite him to come to church sometimes. I said, sometimes y'all don't want to drive an hour and a half. Well, come on over. And you'll at least know me anyhow. So, but you just don't know. They think they are serving God with great zeal because of their entertainment. But when we got talking after, he would say afterwards, we talked a little bit about Bible knowledge. He has very little. He admitted that we don't study the Bible very much. That's sad. That is sad, but I wonder how typical that is on how many churches in this greater Houston area that has millions of people, how many are going to places like that, and the devil is leading them down the wrong road, okay? Instead of going down the road, the path, the straight path of God, the devil's got them off, okay? So they have diligence, but it's the wrong kind of diligence going here. When you feel especially fired up with zeal to do something great for the Lord, it may be tempting to become self-centered. That's the kind of way they are. You may begin to think, I've got to do this, or I'm going to do that, or I'm the one who must do this or that. Self-centered. Now, I have those things because I may think, oh, I'm going to, it's Saturday, I'm going to work on doing something get this done, and when I get through with that, I want to do this. And I go out there and start working on something 20 minutes. The mind may be unwilling, but the body then says, you old fool, what are you doing out here? You know, so those things happen, but you got to think things through. When you think of people and they say, I, what's happened? They all think about me. There used to be a song talk about me type thing years ago. I think it was a country western song that somebody got going. And we have to be so careful. I-centered ideas need to be tempered by the input of and wisdom of wise counselors. You got to think about it. Oh, okay. Yes, that's it. You must remember that your zeal is for God's glory and not for your own self, okay? It's not for building yourself up. It's for God's glory, okay, to help build up everybody. Proverbs 15:22 says, without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed. When you cooperate with godly counselors, you gain an insight and encouragement that improves your efforts, okay? Try and improve your efforts. And when you accept the perspective of godly counselors, you'll achieve more lasting success and bring greater honor to God. And that's what we're all about, trying to honor God. Because just think, without God, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have anything. Earth wouldn't be here. It'd still be just a void type matter in space that when they do all these big pictures from, 100 million light years away and all that stuff, you see all these stars and all that. That's just voids out there, okay? Take the time to find effective partners who can bring you greater success. But be warned, you must choose these people carefully. Now, partners, I'm not talking about husband and wives. I'm talking about somebody that you get along real well with in church. Well, partner up with them on doing extra Bible study, things like that, or go visiting together. You know, we'll have the smile group going. And one thing about it, it's a whole lot easier to go with someone to go visit someone that needs a visit, okay, than going by yourself. Because you go by yourself, you're going to talk yourself out of going. I don't know what to say. You know, I know them, but I don't know them that well. But you go with a partner, hey, it works out. Even if just you and the partner do most of the talking, okay, it still works out. And the person will still enjoy your visit and be uplifted. Simple little things like that. Foolish counselors quickly tear down what it takes much longer to rebuild. Think about, we was going home, and that might have been last night, going home from Jay Lynn's house, down 565, there's a piece of property. You have this growed up pasture in front of this big two-story house that's been there forever back there. And we drove by and, whoa, we realized they had smoke. They had two big fires going. And you saw two of the big track holes out there had been working. And all of a sudden we realized the house is completely gone. So that's only happened within 2 or maybe 3 days and type thing. But, you know, when they built that house years ago, I bet it took them probably 4 or 5 months, 6 months, because they built that in the days before the electric guns and all that type of stuff. They speed up their building times. It takes so much longer to build something up, but you can tear it down so fast. That's the reason why, be careful, little tongue, what you say, okay? That little kid's song is so spot on, okay? So we have to be so careful with things like that. be diligent. And part of that diligence is don't let the devil end up tearing things down by what you may say. Okay? Simple. Simple, but at the same time, very complicated. As a Christian, God is your number one partner. Open up Bible, study it, read it, listen to the preacher, okay? Listen maybe a little bit to me, okay? I'm trying, okay? Turn to the wisdom of the Bible first and never accept the opinions of worldly experts, okay? That conflict with the infinite knowledge of God. Diligence seeks out godly partners. Now, I'm old-fashioned. You know, we have all these concordances, all these other books on opinions. You know, think about it. All those are men who come up with their opinion. They read Scripture, and then they write down, in their opinion, this is due to this. And they've supposedly are supposed to be Bible scholars. But so many times, they can be very wrong too. If you have to be so careful in some of that. Diligence seeks out godly partners. John 9:4. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. Jesus pointed out that there are many opportunities to serve God. But a time will come when people can no longer work. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. Okay? Basically, we all need some rest at times. Karen is a sister down in Florida whose legs were crushed in an industrial accident. After Karen had a lot of surgery, a lot of therapy, she was able to move around with the help of a walker, but not able to volunteer at church like she once did. She came, and she was many times simply say, I wish I could come and help out more, but I want you to know, back when I could, I did. When you meet God, you will be able to say, when I could, I did. Okay? Now, there are many times, younger people will understand this, but as you do get older, you want to. Okay? You used to, and it really works the mind over, because you still want to, but you're just not able to. Okay? Especially when you get, I'm talking about visiting, doing different things. Sometimes even speaking. Y'all tell my voice is raspy. The day's probably going to come where I can't get up and really talk too well because of my lungs and my breathing and all that stuff. Which reminds me, Janice, I just found out, has pneumonia again. Janice, I'll tell y'all something about Janice, a rascal. You know, I did the thing with the elder deacons here a week or two ago, whatever it was. Afterwards, Janice comes up to me. She says, your breathing's off today, isn't it? I looked at her. I said, I started to tell her, well, how'd you know that? And then I told her, I said, takes one to know one, doesn't it? And she could tell I was struggling some that day because I have days my breathing's not that perky, that great, and my voice gets raspy. If I start off in the morning, especially the office being raspy, by the evening, sometimes I'll tell Margie, I'm losing my voice, you know. So I don't know about the future, what it holds for me, but it may be a day where I can't really get out and talk like this. So, but I'll still do it as long as I can, of course. So there's all kind of factors there. But this lady, she wanted to, but she just couldn't because she was so crippled up from that accident. Okay? There's a guy I remember growing up, I knew him. And he became a police officer. He'd made a stop. He was standing between his patrol car and the other person's car, and had them out talking to him about whatever the traffic stop was about. And a drunk came up, hit his back of his patrol car doing about 70, 80 miles an hour. He saw just in time that the guy swerved and was going to hit his car. He pushed this person out of the way. They were saved, but his legs caught it between the bumpers and just crushed him. And he's still alive, but he struggles with those legs all the time and type situation. And was it his fault? No, wasn't his fault. But that's also part of the reason why you see a lot of times patrol cars, I'll explain this, where you see them, they're parked at an angle. You have a car in front, and they come up and park at an angle. And you see a lot of times they get the person off to the side, actually kind of the road ditch a lot of times, talking to them, because there's been so many officers with crushed legs being hit in between those cars, being wedged. I know you didn't want that piece of information, but I just add that, throw that in for good measure this evening. So whenever you can, try to do it as much as you can, okay? When you meet God, you'll be able to say, when I could, I did. When your book is open on that day, you can explain, and he'll already know. Take home point, diligent Christians reject laziness, plan for the future, partner with godly people, and take advantage of opportunities that bring glory to God. This will set you apart from your peers and help you accomplish amazing things. Staying busy is easy, but staying productive is far more challenging. Okay? You can be busy, but really don't produce or be that productive. Can you identify the few but significant things you do that have the greatest impact on your spiritual life? Somebody want to venture an answer out for me? What do you think is the greatest thing that you that impacts your spiritual life? What? Practicing gratitude. Be grateful. You know, there's a lot of things that we should be grateful about that we just take for granted, you know, type thing. Talked to a guy this evening, and he's had a pacemaker for a while, and and he took a bad fall. Yesterday, and took a bad fall, landed on his left shoulder, where the main pacemaker's put in at, and everything. And after checking him over, I told him, I said, "You need to get back in, and let him check and make sure you didn't tear one of the wires, one of the leads in there." And he said, "Well, I'm supposed to see them in about 3 months." I said, "No, don't wait 3 months." You know. So he's going to try to get in as soon as he can now. But so they're saying it's all kind of little things like that. But can you identify something else? Can you, something else besides what John said? Gratitude is one great thing. What else, Susan?
Studying,
type thing. The guy today at Rotary asked me, how many times do you think you might open or read your Bible in a week's time? I'll ask y'all, how many times do you open your Bible and read it? Okay, we got it every day. Normal. It may be a lot. Yes, I agree. That's, on that. But what happens what happens, we get into a rut, and we open our Bibles on Sunday and Wednesday. And that's when we do our most reading and studying and so forth. And the other days, we kind of forget about it. Am I not correct? It's easy to get in a rut. Nobody wants to admit that, but hey, I know good and well, you're not any different from me. You know, I get in those ruts too. But it's hard to stay on that path type thing. So I told him, I said, well, since I'm teaching a Wednesday night Bible class type thing, I'm doing mine a lot more now every week. Just because I look over it, and I look over it, make sure I'm not missing a point I wanted to cover. And I said, how about you? He said, well, every Sunday. Yeah, I don't go to church on Wednesday, so once a week. I said, what do you do the rest of the time? Well, I'm busy helping people make money, because if he wins a case, they get paid and he gets paid. See, how about that as an answer? How do you think I answered him back? He's probably going to never sit with me again. How do you think I answered him back? I told him, I said, well, that's interesting, but are you going to answer the Lord that way when it's judgment time? And he looks, I see him looking at me, you know, because we're sitting side by side. I could feel him looking at me thinking, man, what did you say that for? But, you know, it's just one of those things. Okay, we got to work a little harder at it, just like this gentleman. He needs to get away from that type of church he's at, but he needs to read his Bible more. If he reads his Bible more, study more, he may realize that I'm at the wrong place. You know, hopefully he would. So we got all kind of factors like that we have to kind of keep in mind here. Anybody want to venture another one for me? What has the greatest impact on your spiritual life?
Prayer.
Prayer. I was waiting for prayer. You can't leave prayer out of it. Okay? Can't leave prayer out of it. For sure. Identify the less significant things you can delegate or eliminate in order to devote more time to your most pure and right works. You want to venture one on that? The less significant things you can delegate or eliminate in order to devote more time to your most pure and right works. I saw a yawn. I'm getting bored. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be boring tonight. Nobody going to venture one on for me? Huh? John? Oh, entertainment. Entertainment. It's just surprising about the number of people that are gamers. They have spent a lot of money, 2-3 computers set up their home. They sit there doing all that gaming stuff, 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, sleep 2 hours, get up and go to work. Can't they're so tired they can't hardly do anything at work, but they make it through. But as soon as they get home, oh, back on there, you know, doing that type of stuff. It's kind of crazy in a way, be all set up. So it's like somebody that devotes all their time to sports. I've had people come through and ask the wife, she's in. I said, well, y'all got a big weekend plan? And she said, oh, no. I probably won't even see my husband just unless he comes through to raid the refrigerator. I said, what? In our spare bedroom, he has 6 TVs lined up in his bedroom with different sport games on every channel TV going, and he keeps track of all these different sports going on all at the same time. And he's just glued in there. He won't come out. He's just addicted to watching sports. And I said, can you tell you things? Oh, she said, oh, yeah, he's one of those dictionary encyclopedia people. You ask him about who played what game, what. Oh, he got all that stuff down. What's happened? Wrong things, you know. Margie knows. Thank y'all. See y'all next week.